Good morning. Welcome to those of you here in person and to those of you worshiping online with us in Northwood Presbyterian Church. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. We've got a special Father's Day video and a Father's Day song coming up shortly. Yes, we ask you to stand to join us as we are singing our first song this morning, The Only Name Yours Will Be.
Welcome you in our summer worship pattern now. We're grateful that you're here. We welcome not only you, but all those who are worshiping with us online this morning. For those who are in person, we continue to practice our COVID guidelines with some distancing, and also the wearing of masks is required only if you haven't been vaccinated. Other than that, you don't have to wear a mask. I'm working proactively now with the Commission for In-Person Worship. We're looking to revise all of the guidelines that we're practicing, and that should take place within a couple of weeks, that we'll let you know the new guidelines that will be more relaxed. You will see in the bulletin that next Sunday we'll be recognizing it's the 2020 last year's confirmation class that have been through so much together. They have met for a whole year and more. And next Sunday at this particular service, we will recognize them as they all, with their families, worship at this time. And so we look forward to that next Sunday. For those who are on the session, our elders, we meet this coming Saturday at 9:45 here in the sanctuary to hear their faith statements and approve them into full membership. And we're doing that this year in a revised kind of way. Usually we have a breakfast and a communion. This year we're just having them share their faith statements, and their mentors will introduce them, and then we'll introduce them on Sunday morning the next day, next Sunday. You will see this coming Tuesday there is a Presbyterian Women's Picnic, a birthday celebration that they have each year. They're planning it for this Tuesday. You'll see the time at 11:30 in rooms 5 and 7 in our Christian Education Building, and they ask you to bring an item. You see based on the last name, your last name, a letter in it, to what to bring. And so look at that closely if you're coming. There are two memorial services that take place this week. Paul Means will be back. He's on vacation. He's actually leading both of these services that are off campus. The first is for Alice Russell. She was a longtime church member to our traditional 11 o'clock service, and her service was set by the family, who all are out of town. And they've set it for the day of the Presbyterian Women's Tea. Thank goodness it is later in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. And I would say to you, if you ever work with a funeral home or a funeral director, just work with us as well so that we can be flexible on the time with other things that are happening. But that service is 2 o'clock this coming Tuesday afternoon, and you'll see it's at Sylvan Abbey for Alice Russell. And then Wednesday, we have a service at St. Mark Village for Mimi Judd. And you'll see that's at 2 o'clock as well this Wednesday. The Deacon's Van Ministry is back for those who would like to attend our 11 o'clock service. And I would ask that if you are planning to use that and you're watching us online this morning, that you call the church office by Wednesday noon and not Saturday night. I don't often check late Saturday night for my messages, but oftentimes that's when we get a few of them if they want to come. So try to let us know by Wednesday noon, if you would. That would be very helpful. You'll see the safety measures that are listed that the Commission for In-Person Worship wanted you to know about, things they've done to the air handler system to sanitize the air and the deep cleaning that's taking place. When the guidelines are revised, the deep cleaning will stop in a couple of weeks, most likely, because it is an additional expense. But I can assure you the regular cleaning they do is quite good as well. You'll see your giving matters, and there's a number of ways for us to make our financial gifts during the week. Most likely when the revision of guidelines is done, we'll probably keep using the little communion cups, individual cups, and not pass the communion plates, and we'll most likely keep the giving stations that are out in the narthex and not pass the offering plates for some time. Those are probably two of the guidelines that we'll keep. But please note that paragraph about your giving. And how much it matters here at Northwood. You'll also see the announcement about the hurricane ministry that's important for this time of year, as we all know. You'll see the constant contact sheet that's listed in the bulletin, or it's listed actually in your pew today. If you would just fill it out, leave it in your pew, or you can place it in the baskets outside the door. And this concludes our morning announcements. Let's continue to worship God now.
Come on in, take a seat. Why don't you grab a pen and paper?
Sure.
Okay. And what I'm going to have you do is write a letter to your son that you're going to give to him when he turns 18. I want you to write a letter to your daughter.
Okay.
for when she turns 18.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, my son's only 4 years old, so this will be interesting.
Dear Olivia.
Dear Mason.
You won't read this letter for 6 years, and a lot could change between now and then.
Hopefully, you've learned by now that it's important to put on clothes before you go outside. Maybe you've learned that vegetables are your friends.
I sincerely hope that all of the dabbing has finally stopped.
And also that it's pronounced mac and cheese, not monkey cheese, mac and cheese.
You dream of becoming a famous singer, so thank you in advance for all the free concert tickets.
Is this still your goal to be a professional YouTuber?
I know you were hoping to become a giraffe when you grew up, but hopefully you have some even better career options now.
It hasn't always been easy. I sat on a piece of gum you left on a chair yesterday and didn't find out until after work.
The dishes really do go in a dishwasher. It's not like a metaphor or something.
Remember when you cut your own hair and then you tried to fix it?
Basically, I didn't sleep for 3 years straight.
But I can tell you this. Despite all the struggles, all the tears, it was completely worth it. And I would do it again, 100 times over, for you.
You are a gift and a blessing. You've changed my life.
You are beautiful and strong. You have so much energy in life, and I can already see how incredibly smart and fearless you are.
More than anything, I want you to know that I love you.
I'm here for you, whatever you need.
You have made me so proud.
And I am excited to see how God uses your life.
You're ready to take on the world. With all my heart.
Love always. Dad.
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 Turn out the light.
This is the time of sharing joys and concerns, and while we're not passing the microphone, I encourage you, if you have a joy or concern that you would like to lift up in prayer, please do so at this time. And as we do that, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. So are there any joys and concerns you'd like to share this morning as we come to God in a time of prayer? Behind me, Stephanie.
Just a joy of this past week, we had our annual music and worship conference in Leesburg, and there weren't many of us this year, three adults and seven youth, two youth leaders. Jared and Mitchell went as youth leaders, the two Jeffrey boys and some others. It was a great week. I asked them what they liked the most, and they really liked the faith sharing portion and the Vespers, which is the praise band, basically, and learning how to lead in worship. And so it was a great week of fellowship. But they also had breakouts with art and sacred dance, sign language, things like that. So everybody got a lot out of it this week, and even though we had to sing with masks on, which was not fun, but overall it was a terrific week. And so we thank the church for helping us to be able to go.
Thank you for sharing. Others? Oh, you're looking for that microphone thing, aren't you, in order to share? That's what it is. Let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God of David, you are the God of the house of Israel. You are the God of all people, regardless of color, regardless of whether they are rich or poor. You are the God of all. And you have given us the gift of a Savior. Who are we that we should be so blessed by your grace, O God? And yet in Christ we have been set apart as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, God's own people. You have called us and you have sent us into the world to be lights to others. Help us to do that this week as we go from here from worship today. We who are nothing apart from your saving mercy, we stand here with you today in worship because of the grace you have shown us in Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for making us part of the household of Christ. As we think of households this day, we think of families, we think of fathers, we think of parents who nurture us. And in your infinite wisdom, you have placed us with friends and family in order to care for us and raise us as children into adults. And we give you thanks for this supporting family, wherever it is and however it is made, for you have made it. And you are always with us. And so together we proclaim our Savior Christ, and we come together today to claim one faith. And we give you thanks for the universal witness of your resurrection, and we pray for the day when all Christians may join in one family around your table. Oh, thanks be to you, O God, for your Holy Spirit. This is the season of Pentecost, and we celebrate your Spirit amongst us, your Spirit who empowers each of us with a gift or a skill according to our individual strengths and abilities. And we give you thanks even for those in our country with voice and those with vision. We give you thanks for those who are called even to political office because that process and that those decisions are so important for every one of us. Oh Lord, we thank you for them in the midst of social media and all the anger they often face. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our world. We praise you that your Spirit enables each of them and us to labor and affirm that we are workers together in Christ. And finally, oh Lord, we are grateful for the world into which Christ sends us. We are mindful today of the stresses and concerns of our world, in the environment, in business, in coming out of COVID. Help us, O Lord, to be a better world. And in the midst of all of this, we are so grateful for the scientists and those who do research into cancer cures and cures for things like COVID and shingles, and everything else, people are at work. And we thank you for the wisdom that you pour into all of our minds through your Holy Spirit. This is our prayer this day as we come on this Father's Day, recognizing that you are our Father and we are your children, all people, and we pray in Christ's name then, amen. We come now to give our gifts to God in the ways in which we've been doing so through the gift stations outside in the narthex after the service for those who bring their gifts to the office. We are so grateful, and also those who mail them in or give online. And let us pray as we recognize that. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for all those who make gifts at this time to your church, here at Northwood, but everywhere as churches struggle to resurface after COVID. Oh Lord, use us. Use us as your ambassadors and the gifts that we give, for we do it all in the name of Christ who calls us. Amen.
Held in your hand.
Amen. Thank you. The sermon is entitled today, Deeply Moved Minds and Hearts. And there are two scripture readings. The first is simply one verse from the Gospel of Matthew. And then I'll read a story that's in Acts chapter 9 about a man named Saul. But first, Matthew. The context of this particular verse, one verse, comes after a Pharisee asked Jesus a question about what is the greatest of all the laws. And this is Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9, we read about the conversion of Saul. And as we know, when we're told here, Saul had been persecuting Christians. And then on the road to Damascus, he encounters the risen Christ. And then he's transformed. He's so moved. And he becomes, though we're not told in this particular passage, but we know later in the New Testament, he becomes a great missionary for the church, a great promoter, indeed, arguably writing 2/3 of the New Testament. And so listen as we read of his conversion experience in Acts chapter 9. "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' He asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' The reply came, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And so they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank." Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. Oh Lord, as we heard in the song a few moments ago, your goodness is running after us. You pursue us, oh Lord, not to do bad to us, but because you are so good to us, you have been so faithful to us, and we are so grateful. And so as we come to your word, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear that you still come to us, and you stand beside us in thick or thin. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, in this current sermon series, this is the third sermon in this series about the hour of worship that we spend together on Sundays. I shared with you at the onset that it is a big deal to worship God. It is a big deal for God. It's a big deal for us to worship Him regularly. I know it's important to you. I know because we've had people all through the last year who have been watching through the live streaming and still continue to do so. I had to turn my phone off for people who are watching on Facebook who are commenting and saying hello this morning to one another. It's a wonderful thing to watch online and to be part of it, even when we couldn't be present. But now we're back together, many of us. I said last week the act of worship is prominent in the Bible. Let me give you an example of that. I read this morning from Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus indicates how to serve God. One of the Pharisees tested Jesus with the question, "What is the greatest of all the commandments? What's the greatest thing the prophets have taught us?" And Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and with all your mind." And then he continues, he says, "This is the first and greatest commandment, to worship him, the very first." And then he goes on and he says, "The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." And next Sunday we'll come to that second part as we look at how the hour of worship calls us to make a decision each week to follow him and to take the next step of faith in our journey. But that's next week. Today is today. We're talking about worship. And I mentioned in the first 2 weeks that we as individuals have many activities, we have many distractions that take up time, and yet we have to choose to come to worship, to be intentional about that. At this hour of worship that we have to worship God, we have the opportunity to receive enormous gifts every single week if we are available to God and we're prepared. On the first Sunday of this series, I spoke briefly about the wonder we receive in worship of a quieted soul. Last Sunday, I shared with you about the gift of wonder, the gift of an encouraged heart that we can also receive from this time together. I've spent most of my life in worship, and I can tell you my heart is encouraged every time I come together and I am with you here in worship. And I'm sure that's true for many people. We get what we need for the week ahead, 1 week at a time. I want to further comment about what I said last Sunday. Many of you will remember that I said very sadly that very few churchgoers and almost all of those who were unchurched would rarely use the word wonder when they describe worship. Indeed, I mentioned a global survey that had been published in Christianity Today, the magazine, that asked the unchurched what would be the one word they would use to describe church. If someone said church to them, how would they respond? And someone in this service who was a plant, my wife Joyce, yelled out, "Boring." You remember that? Thank you, Joyce. Well, for those that were at our 11 o'clock service last week, it was anything but boring. Of course, we weren't talking about just us as a church. This is what people said about the church globally. But at our 11 o'clock service last Sunday, we ended the service early out of concern for one of our choir members, Dick Casper. He was sitting right up there behind me that we put the pulpit in for the 11 o'clock service. And for a couple of minutes on Facebook, you can see how he's just fading and fading. And finally, in the middle of the sermon, he passed out right up there. And it was a scary moment for all of us. Immediately, I said, "Call 911. And is there a doctor or a nurse here?" And a nurse who was visiting from Kansas City, I know her family well. I conducted her wedding about a year and a half ago. She ran forward and attended to Dick right in the middle of the sermon. And we ended last Sunday that 11 o'clock service praying for him, and we sang a couple of stanzas of the closing hymn, and we continued to pray for him. And lo and behold, today Dick is fine, and he will be back with us at the 11 o'clock service. I'm going to ask him not to sit behind me at the pulpit in case he does this again. But Dick actually sent me a note from the hospital last Sunday afternoon. I was calling to check on him, and he got back with me, and this is what he wrote to me. He said, "Hello, Chris. Well, this morning was not the least bit boring after all, as you suggested. The church sign should have read, 'Come watch Dick pass out at the 11 o'clock worship service.'" And then he finished his note, "By the way, you may want to make your sermons a bit shorter." And then he added, "Tell Paul Beans that too." All the best, Dick Casper. Notice I shared that note while Paul's away on vacation. So at Northwood, the hour on Sunday is anything but boring. And we are sure glad to have Dick back with us at the 11 o'clock service. He's one of the finest violinists I've ever heard. Today, in this third sermon, I want to share briefly with you that there are times in worship, not every Sunday, but there are times in our worship where we will feel deeply moved in our minds or our hearts because we're here in worship. Remember in the book of Acts, Saul had that experience of being deeply moved. So much so that he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. It's an interesting kind of Christian diet, isn't it? That's what Paul did. Many people, you know, do not come to worship expecting anything to happen. And that's sad. Many people come and they don't expect to be deeply moved mentally or emotionally by anything that happens in church. But I believe we should expect that. The early Christians certainly did. They met in excitement for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is the season of Pentecost, all through the summer, all the way through the end of November. And when we celebrate the movement of God's Spirit, and we never know how God is going to move in our lives. But the Holy Spirit is always active in each one of us, in our community, and in our world. We should expect something to happen every week, not just Dick passing out. But we should make sure when we come to worship that we are prepared. So many of us, I know, and I'm guilty of this if I'm not careful, we should come to worship prepared and rested. And so many of us use Saturdays to stay up late and to do other things, and then we come many times exhausted to worship, and we're not at our best. It's hard to concentrate, it's hard to focus, and we're distracted. And I've never noticed anyone in this service going to sleep because we're all just so young. But that's what happens if we come and we're not prepared and we're tired. God, you see, has designed us to be both thinkers and feelers. We all know in our Presbyterian tradition, we definitely use our heads when we come to worship. But we should also open our hearts to the leading of God's Spirit to move us deeply. It's important that we open ourselves to God. Some have said this is why God gave us the arts. Many of you don't know this, but many years ago, actually it was in the late 80s, in the Book of Order of the Presbyterian Church, in the very first chapter, it was written, and someone put this in, that the church should have always include the arts in worship. It's in the very first chapter. And I had a professor who could actually name the person who suggested that the arts be included. The arts are a very wide range of human practices of creative expression. They encompass diverse modes of thinking and doing and being in a broad range of even media. The arts in all their splendor, they include music, like every Sunday, paintings. Sometimes I have brought paintings in and described a painting in detail to you, and the history of it, and the theology, and the beauty of it. Photography, theater, drama, movies, and yes, even television and film. These can be used to help us to be moved deeply in worship and for God to speak to us. In the ancient days, they relied only on storytelling. You know, when people talk about boredom, we quickly forget that in ancient days, in the early church, and before then, people often told stories. Their minds were very active and alert, and they didn't have all the devices and television and distractions that we have today. And one of the challenges for people when they come to worship is learn how to open their minds and to be receptive. The word boredom doesn't even occur in the New Testament or Old Testament. They didn't understand that word. They memorized all the begets, all the stories. And so we have to open ourselves up to God and unplug ourselves from everything. And that takes practice in our minds in order to be alert. But the arts. In the ancient days, they relied heavily on storytelling. And again, there's a number of times I've used pieces of art, and there's certainly times when Paul, especially in our Wednesday Bible studies, has used photography to celebrate God's glory in all of creation. Our church photo group still meets regularly, and they post photos outside the kitchen, our reception area, in the hallway for us to enjoy for this very purpose. C.S. Lewis referred to great art as drippings of grace, which can awaken our thirst for God. Just as the beauty of God's own creation does this when we see majestic mountains, or we're walking in the evening on the beach and see a sunset, or we go outside at night and see the wonderful starry lights in the sky, art has the potential as well, just like creation, to stir our souls and move us deeply. And this is true in our individual worship when we're not here, and also in our corporate worship when we are. This is especially true in architecture in churches. If you notice, this church has this A-frame thing, and when you come into the room, it's intentional by the architect that we're drawn upward. Our eyes are drawn to the stained glass. It's a wonderful piece of art that just drips with God's grace for us. That's intentional. Art is a part of worship. Have you ever encountered or been transfixed by a work of art that stirred you deeply, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? I have. I have found myself on more than one occasion standing somewhere in the world, in a museum or in a church, just deeply touched by a work of art. I remember years ago when I went off to Scotland for my first church experience in Edinburgh, On the way there, when I flew into London, I went to St. Paul's Cathedral because I remember as a fifth grader, we had to paste art in a little spiral notebook. And one of the pieces of art we were given to paste in our notebook was Holman Hunt's painting, The Light of the World. And so I went to St. Paul's Cathedral and went straight to the east wall of that cathedral. And there on the wall was The Light of the World. There are two copies of it. One stays in St. Paul's and the other is on an exhibit that goes around the world in different museums. And it brought me back, even as a fifth grader, remembering pasting that in my little spiral notebook and realizing that God is always with me no matter where I was, even when I was there without all of my family for a couple of years. It's a wonderful moment that still moves me deeply. Good musical theater can do this. I had to tell this story a couple of times, as well as another story I'm going to tell in a moment, because every time I would try to tell Joyce, I would get about halfway through and I would say, I just have to stop. I can't do it. And so I'll try to this morning. But I remember once she and I went to a performance of the musical Les Miserables, which is one of my favorites. It was held in Tampa at the Performing Arts Theater. And while I knew the story, I knew the music, after the closing finale, the song Bring Me Home, Joyce and I stood with everyone else. We actually leapt to our feet as we gave a standing ovation to the performers and to the truth that's in that music embedded in it. The song performed by the main character, Jean Valjean, is a song about reaching out to those in need of help. And the words, you know, take my hand and lead me to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting. And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of God. I want to say to you, I was so moved at that moment and that experience, having seen it before. But I went home, and for the next week, I wrote a benediction. It was a page long, and finally I got it down to two sentences. And some of you have heard me use it from time to time. It's almost word for word from that song. And a good story in the hour of worship, it can help us to see our own souls and to be deeply moved. For example, that's what I experienced the first time I saw the movie, the film, Schindler's List. I expected the movie to deeply move me about the horrors of the Holocaust, and it did. But what I did not expect is for it to touch me in another way in thinking about stewardship and doing things for others. The main character in that film, Oscar Schindler, and it's based on a real man who set up a factory to protect his Jewish employees from being sent to the concentration camps and be killed. But he had this factory, and the Jews made things there that the Nazis needed for the war. And so they were protected. They were needed. And near the film's end, as Schindler surveys his employees' grateful faces, he's having to leave because the Americans and others are coming, the Allies, and he's afraid he'll be arrested. They want him to go and escape. But he wonders out loud with his factory manager about how many more lives he could have saved. He pauses, he sees the crowd of those workers' faces, he looks at his car, and he said, if I had sold my car, that's 10 more lives. And he wrings his hand, and he sees the ring on his hand, and he said, this ring, it's gold. That would have been two more people I could have saved. And he breaks down in a feeling of guilt and remorse of more he could have done. And in that moving scene, the workers immediately come over to him and embrace him and love him for what he has done. The writers of that script, they tapped into the desire we have as human beings to help others, to avoid feeling regret about something we could have done in our Christian stewardship but did not do. It reminded me of the end of Matthew 25 is that story that Jesus told. And the disciples say to Jesus after he told that long story, they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or sick or in prison and did not minister unto you? And he answered, I say it in much as you did not do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. It's a very convicting story. And I'll never forget the look in Schindler's eyes, if you see that movie, look at his eyes, wishing he had done more. God uses storytelling in film and in worship and to call us into Christian service. This is also true of the hymns and the songs we enjoy in worship to the glory of God. They also do this. They can move us. It's a gift, a wonder that we receive each and every Sunday. They help us to handle the stress and the pressures of life. Singing and music in this hour, it does this for us. God does this for us. And so I want to invite the band, Stephanie and the band, to come back up, to come up early and get ready for a song I want to include at the close of the sermon today. And as they're coming up, I want to tell this story. During the pandemic, one of the things I did, I enjoyed, like many of you, watching television and Netflix, but I enjoyed going on YouTube from time to time, and I'm a real fan of the Johnny Carson show. And I remember staying up late before I go to bed, and Mom would come and say, go to bed, you have to go to school tomorrow, and I would still watch the Johnny Carson show. And then if I stayed up past midnight, you remember what would happen at midnight? They would have the song of our country, and then static would come on. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? But that's how we used to end most evenings years ago. The Johnny Carson show every night. And one night, there was a famous baseball pitcher, the most valuable player twice in the league, a World Series baseball pitcher, Oral Hershiser. I've told this story many years ago. And Carson asked this Dodger pitcher how he dealt with stress during the game when he was pitching. And Hershiser said that he would step off the mound and often he would say a little prayer. And then he stopped and he said to Johnny, actually, Johnny, he said, it's not a prayer, it was a song called The Doxology. And Johnny said, well, he said, you know, would you mind singing a little bit of it for us even tonight? And I remember as a teenager, right there on national television, this baseball pitcher sang The Doxology. And you know how it goes. We're going to sing it now as we close this service. This is how we'll close the message, not with a prayer, but with a singing this song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's stand and sing it as we close our service.
I think we have the words, do we? The first part of this song is all we're going to do, which is our doxology. We sing it in the traditional services, and we sing it here too. Thank you.
All praise and glory be to God. And now go in peace. Go and take the hand of someone and lead them to salvation, to a love that is everlasting. And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of God. Amen.